Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. You know, we've had a number of national champions in our state in recent years. And let me tell you, the latest is the men's UW Eau Claire track and field team. Last month, the Blue Golds took home the Division III national title alongside Washington University. And we'll talk about with the coach about what it takes to be a college track and field athlete. Our guest, Chip Schneider, head coach for men's indoor and outdoor track and field at UW Eau Claire. He also serves as director of cross country. And as we listen to Coach Schneider talk, I hope you'll join in. Does your child run track or participate in field events? How do you support their training? Or perhaps you were a high school athlete involved in track and field. Join the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Chip Schneider, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
It's great to hear your voice. Let's talk first about your own athletic background. How'd you get involved in track and field?
Well, I grew up in a track and field family. I'm from a small town, Lancaster, Wisconsin, in the southwest part of the state. So I had two older brothers and an older sister, and both my older brothers went to state in track and field, and I remember sitting in the stands watching them and thinking, gosh, I want to do that when I get older. And luckily enough, I was pretty good at it and had a good high school career. And then I went on to run at UW-Platteville for my undergrad and was pretty successful in college. I won a national title in the 400 hurdles and a national title in the long jump when I was there in another Division III school. So just wanted to kind of stay with it after that and, you know, got into the coaching biz. But, like, definitely was a product of my family being a very track-oriented family. I have a son now that runs track at a Division I school out in Montana State. So kind of goes in the bloodline, I guess.
Yeah, I have a daughter who runs cross-country at her college, and then she's a high jumper for the indoor and outdoor track for her college. And so kind of imbued with it as well. But your coach, you decide, was this something you'd always planned to be a coach?
Not necessarily. I actually I went to college to be a teacher. I was a physical education and health teacher for 2 years out of college in Galena, Illinois, and was still coaching at UW-Platteville as just a part-time assistant, and decided after a year of teaching that, gosh, maybe I want to do the coaching thing full-time. So, you know, went back and got my grad work done at UW La Crosse and had a good time there. So, you know, it evolved, I guess. It was one of those things where, as an athlete, I got done as an athlete and I thought, gosh, I don't really want to be done with the sport. And how else am I going to stay in the sport? And coaching seemed like the most logical path to take.
Yeah, it sounds and then you've been at UW Eau Claire for what, 20 years?
Yeah, this is my 20th year. It seems like it should be possible, but yeah, I've been here for 20 years now. So I've been in Eau Claire the longest of any portion of my life now.
And it goes so fast. I know. I'm sure you feel that way as well. Peter in Pewaukee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Peter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good show. Good show. My daughter used to run cross country and track and field at UW La Crosse. And she was a steepler. She ran the steeplechase in track. She didn't really like track, but she would tolerate steeplechase. Well, there was a meet at UW-Platteville, and maybe Coach Schneider, and by the way, congratulations, Coach Schneider. I have the utmost respect for the UW Eau Claire program, but whether it be track or field or cross country, they have a very, very outstanding program. At UW-Platteville, there was a meet, and my daughter had already ran her race, but the men's race came up, and there was a pretty large contingent for a steeplechaser, and the field got spread out over the race, meaning that the front runners were coming up behind the last people that were in the race, and sure enough, right at the water jump, the young man who was last probably got a little nervous because these five or six guys were right on his tail. He slipped and fell into the water pit, and these five or six guys jumped, and some of them hit him. He was underwater. He was getting run over.
Oh, my goodness me.
I think I was at that meet. I remember this. I think we have pictures, like a few of our guys were part of the pack, and we have pictures of that debacle. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, the steeple is not for the faint of heart, for sure. Anytime you have barriers that are not going to move and a water jump over 3,000 meters, that's, you gotta be a special person to even want to do that.
Yeah, and I'm surprised if she wasn't all that fond of the track part of it that she chose the steeplechase.
It takes a special person to do cross country too. So, like, my hat's off. I was more of a sprinter and hurdler. So, gosh, anybody that wants to run 5,000 meters or 10,000 meters or 10,000 meters, my hat's off to them.
Peter, thanks for that story. Appreciate it very much. You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And you coach cross country too. And as I said, my daughter runs cross country, and then she's high jumps, which she loves to do. A lot of the cross-country runners wind up in track and field as well at Eau Claire, Chip?
Yeah, I would say most of our kids that are cross-country runners are running track and field too. It's pretty unusual for us to get somebody that won't do both. It's just kind of the training lends itself to doing both, because the distance runners on our program that are cross-country and track kids, they get very few weeks off during the entire year where they're really not training. Distance runners, you know, you'll be lucky to get 2 or 3 weeks out of the year where you're not really actively running, or at least cross training. So they're pretty much steadfast. As soon as the track season gets done, they get a week or two off, and then their summer is spent getting ready for the cross country season, and cross country gets done and middle of November, so they get another week or two off, and then it's right back into getting ready for the indoor track season. So, the distance kids, they're at it almost, 50 weeks out of the 52 during the year.
You know, I'm thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking about the runners, the people that you wind up getting. Now, you've got something you can really sell a prospective student, because UW-Eau Claire is a very, very good university, has a wonderful reputation. But how do you go about the business of recruiting runners?
Well, I'll tell you, when I first started, when we weren't a really good program as far as a track and field program, it was a little more difficult than it is now that we've established ourselves as a pretty good team. So, I guess one of the really big advantages of track and field and cross country, but especially track and field, is that it's really a numbers game. If you're a small town kid and you run the 100 meters in 11 flat, and you're a big town kid and you run the 100 meters in 11.5, the numbers don't lie, and that small town kid's faster than the big city kids. So it makes it a little easier for me as a coach to know exactly what I'm getting just by looking at their numbers. Whereas, if I'm coaching basketball and we got a center at a small school that's scoring 20 points a game, but he's only 6 foot tall because there's not a lot of tall kids that he competes against, that might not work at a college where he's not going to be a center anymore. Whereas, in track and field, numbers don't lie, which is another benefit as far as we're a Division III school for college, where, you know, I might have a Division III man or woman competing for me that we can take them to a Division I or Division II meet, and they can still be competitive because we already know that they're running times or throwing or jumping as high as somebody that's, you know, at a Division I or Division II level.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Somebody wondered, you share the national title with Washington. Why wasn't the tie broken? Somebody wanted to know.
Yeah, there's nothing like we're run by like the NCAA, so we go by an NCAA rule book for track and field, and there's nothing that breaks ties. So at any division in track and field, so D1, D2, or D3, if there's a tie, there's not a way that they break the tie for a team score. And I think you would find that even within the high school ranks. So if you went to the high school state meet this year and two teams ended up scoring exactly the same for the team score, they won't break that tie for team. Whereas almost in every individual event, there's a way to break the ties, but they don't break ties for teams.
It's interesting to me. You'd almost have to have some extra trophies around to hand out at the end.
Oddly enough, they don't. So, like, usually you flip a coin to see who gets to take the trophy home with them, and then the other team, they make another one, you get it a month or so later. But we had already won a national title, and this was WashU's first time winning. So their coach came to me and said, would it be okay if we took the trophy? I'd really like to take it back to our campus. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. We're flying on an airplane anyway. It would just be something else that would be hard for us to grapple with.
Jim Schneider, our guest, he's going to be with us right up until 12:30 today. We're talking about the UW-Eau Claire men's indoor and outdoor track and field team, but just talking about track in general as well. He can answer pretty much any question you might have. You can join in 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll look at the news and then we'll be back with Coach Chip Schneider. I'm Larry Mueller. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about track and field and what it takes to become a national champion with our guest, Coach Chip Schneider, with us. He's head coach for men's indoor and outdoor track and field for UW-Eau Claire, also serves as director of cross country. So does your child run track or maybe participate in field events? How do you support their training? Or perhaps you were a high school athlete involved in track and field or a college athlete. Join in. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Pam in Madison next. Pam, thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. I love your show.
Thank you.
Can you hear me? This is the mother of a national champion from UW-Eau Claire, Jake, JDO. Hi, Coach.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. I happened to be in my car at the time, and Jake joined the Eau Claire program after Chip had taken over, and it was on an exciting rise, and the coaches are all terrific, and Jake was a two-time indoor champion on the 4x4.
Oh, well, that's great, Pam. Thanks a lot for calling. So, Chip, how was Jake? Was he a good guy and a good student?
Jake was awesome. Like, Jake's out of Whitewater, Wisconsin. He was a really good high school athlete. I remember when they came on their recruiting visit and thinking, gosh, if we can get this kid, we got a chance to do some really good things. And fortunate enough, he came to Eau Claire and lived up to everything that he was supposed to be and was part of, like, the program that we first won nationals with. So he came in with a really good group, and there was a couple of kids a couple years younger than him that really took our program from being a solid program to a top national program. And And without guys like Jake, we would have never, we wouldn't be where we are today for sure, because he was, yeah, he was outstanding. Great runner for us, would do anything we asked of him. Great leader. I think he lives in New Mexico now. Still keep in touch with him a little bit. But, yeah, his family was great, too. His family was usually at a lot of the meets. He has the younger brother that would come, too. So, great to hear that voice. I haven't heard that voice in years.
Pam, thanks a lot. Appreciate your call. Oh, nice to have that. John in Dodgeville will give you a chance. Hi, John.
Good morning. So I just wanted to reach out and acknowledge a couple of coaches in Dodgeville, Wisconsin, Danny McGraw and Joe Hansen, who are great motivators because they motivated my two daughters to run, and they do not come from a running family.
And this is in high school, John?
Yes, high school.
And I thanks so much for that. And, you know, I'm betting Chip, Coach Chip, do you know those folks?
Oh, yeah. I remember the Hansen brothers when they ran at UW La Crosse. They were something else. But, yeah, we actually have a couple of athletes right now that are from that high school, or Mineral Point Dodgeville. They yep. share a program. And one of our guys on the 4x4 that was an All-American this year is from that program. So, yeah, definitely know of them. They run a really good, really good program down there. It's actually from the high school conference that I was in. So Dodgeville and Lancaster are in the same conference. So they get a lot of really good kids out. They do an unbelievable. He's right. They do an unbelievably good job. There's a lot of great high school coaches out there that they get a lot of kids that aren't necessarily track athletes, that they get them out for the sport, and these kids find out how great of a sport track and field is, because track and field is a sport where you don't have to come in great, and there's so many different events. I mean, you can throw, you can run distance, you can hurdle, you can sprint, and your work you see every week because you can PR every week or every 2 weeks. And it doesn't matter if you're not always competing against everybody else. You're competing against your best, which is great.
Yeah, it's thanks, John, very much for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, that PR business, you know, personal best business. It's something my daughter's always talking about. You know, for her, it's how, you know, how high she can jump, and you know, in the last conference meet, she had two personal bests in the same meet, and man, that was really exciting for her, even though, you know, she didn't win, but she had personal bests.
Right, and you don't have that in every sport. I don't feel like, you know, you don't, you're competing against, like, it's a team sport and an individual sport. That's another great part about track and field, is like, a lot of times you can be on a team that's not so good, but have really good individual success. And sometimes you can be on a great team and have success on your own too. That, like you said, you don't always have to win to score points either, or, no. You know, to feel like you're accomplishing something in track and field, just because you're competing against yourself daily. Like when your daughter gets up to high jump, she's out there by herself in that moment, and she's competing against herself, really.
Yeah. Leah emailed, she was a D3 cross country and track and field athlete at UW Stout. It was one of the hardest yet rewarding aspects of her college career. And she says the WIAC is one of the most competitive D3 conferences in all of the USA. And it was insane how good you had to be to compete at that level. She said she made friendships that have lasted well past college, and she even got a husband out of it.
Yeah, you would be shocked. I know that, like, we've had plenty of couples meet on our team. I know that I was asked to marry one couple, and I'm like, I think I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to let somebody else do that. But I know that one of our cross country coaches a couple of years ago, he did marry a couple that met on his team. So yeah, it goes beyond just the numbers and all that, you know. I think any sport where you're spending this much time and it's four more years of dedication and you're surrounded by people that are like you, you're going to make really good close relationships, you know, friends or find a wife or a husband, I suppose, in times. But, you know, and the conference is amazing. Like, the UW system does a really good job. It's, you know, a public institutions where, you know, you have a chance to go to a college and maybe not pay as much to go to a private school and still get a really good education, and also have the opportunity to compete on sports teams that are at the highest levels. You know, we're Division III schools, but there's definitely Division II conferences that a lot of our schools could go into and be highly competitive, and even some small Division I schools that we can really be competitive against. So, you know, you can compete at the highest levels and still get a really affordable education at the same time.
What is it about track? I mean, cross country and track, it seemed to me it's a different kind of feeling from some of the other sports.
I kind of touched on this a little bit. Like, it does have aspects of individual and team all at the same time. You know, when it's the middle of the summer and you're a distance athlete, you're walking out the door most of the time to do all your off-season training by yourself. You know, there is a lot of time to be introspective, I think, during a track season. But there's also those times where you're using your team to be motivational to keep working hard. 'Cause it is a grind. It's a very long season compared to a high school season in college. So, like, for us, we've been, you know, our first official practice is usually the first weekend of November or the last weekend of October, and we're going all the way through May for a whole season where we're pretty active. So, you know, there's definitely a different dynamic within our sport because of that team/individual aspect.
And I noticed, too, that at least in my daughter's case, I mean, well, probably in most cases, the men and the women, they're competing. They may be competing in exactly the same. There's that sort of camaraderie between, you know, they're at the same meet. They're, you know, the men might run first or the women might run first, you know, depending on where you are. And that's a different aspect you don't see in the other sports.
Yeah, I mean, I coach both men's and women's track and field, right? You would never see somebody that on a college campus that coached both the men's and the women's basketball team, right?
Right.
You would never see that. So, yeah, all of our coaches coach both genders. There's not a single coach on my staff that just coaches the men or coaches the women. So a lot of times, even at practice, we're doing the exact same things, maybe at a different pace or a different height, but we're working as one big group with our men and our women. So it's not unusual for us to have like a senior and junior women that are helping the freshmen and sophomore men that haven't figured it out yet, and vice versa. So, yeah, I mean, we're a very close group. Like, when we have meetings, we're having a meeting as an entire team with our men and our women. So, yeah, it opens up some avenues, I think, as far as just friendships and things across the gender line that aren't always there in other sports, or even, you know, you see it a little more maybe in a classroom setting, but like, it's a little more easy to do within our sport.
Well, you know, as my daughter coming in as a freshman, this year is her freshman year, and instantly she had all of these friends she made in cross country, and then that's, you know, most of the cross country, you know, they were all going to track, so she went track too, and I think that was a carryover from high school where she learned good study habits she had because of the amount of work, and those have carried over into college. She's doing really well in college, so it's there's a lot
of time management skills too when you're an athlete in college, right? Because you're going to spend hours at the track on certain days, so you have to be a little more diligent with your time during the day. I mean, anybody that's gone to college knows that all your days aren't jam-packed or classes. So what are you doing between your classes? Are you being diligent with your time? Because when you're an athlete, you know you might not have time later in the day. So, I find that kids do much better who are athletes in high school when they continue to do it in college. And it's just good for you. I mean, it's endorphins. It's staying active. Yeah. You know, there's so much positive that we add to it. You know, like for our team, between our men and women, we have anywhere from 125 to 130 athletes. So most of our kids don't go to a class where there's not another track and field athlete in their class with them. So, you know, if they're struggling in a class, that's the first person they're going to. They're like study buddies right off the bat, right? Yeah. So you talked about learning good habits. Yeah, you know, you learn bad habits too, I'm sure, from other places on campus. But I feel like within your team, it's a little more controlled. So you're able to actually learn more good habits than bad habits.
Pat in Three Lakes, we'll give you a chance. Pat, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'd just like to give a little shout out to our track and field and cross country in Three Lakes. We've had several athletes that have gone on. One is at West Point right now, and she's putting the shot put and I think other endeavors. Another girl who is actually my nephew's daughter probably established more track records in the state of Wisconsin than any other athlete from that class of school. She's in, she had an offer at one of the military schools, and she decided to go to UWM, and she's doing really well there. We have got other athletes that are really showcasing. And we don't get much credit here because we're such a small school, but I would just like to give us a hell of a lot of credit because these two girls and a lot of other ones have really shown what we can do and showing what they can do. They're really dedicated athletes. So that's about all I have to say.
Well, Pat, thank you so much for calling. And Coach Chip, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Three Lakes program, but it's a small program.
It is. I mean, we recruit all around the state. So, I mean, if you're fast or you can throw far or you can jump high, we've heard of you. That's one of the beauties of the sport. I'm pretty familiar with almost every program within the state. I might not know every person, but yeah, if they have somebody that's good, and every program in the state produces somebody along the line. You know, it's one of those sports too where it helps to have good coaching. It definitely does, but yeah. Often like, you're going to find a kid that just comes out of the woodwork somewhere that their parent or the, you know, used to run track or something, and they just kind of have grown up with it. You know, I talked about that. I came from a track family, so I learned a lot of my stuff before I even got to high school just from watching my brothers and things like that.
I had a friend who wound up going into track because he was kind of short. He wasn't real tall, so he couldn't play basketball, and football wasn't something he was interested in, but he thought, you know, I could shine, I think, if I went out for track. And so he went out for track and, you know, broke some school records by the time he was done with it. And he hadn't run track other than a little bit in grade school. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. You mentioned coaches, by the way. You have a dozen or 15 coaches.
Yeah, I have probably the biggest coaching staff of any sport in track and field anywhere. But a lot of it's like a lot of my coaches that are on staff are former athletes of mine that have just stayed with the program. My throws coach was here before when I got here, but we were actually college teammates in college, so I knew of him. A lot of the coaches are from a Division III background, but there's a couple that aren't. But a lot of us just, we have a fun program to be around, I think. We're not all work, trust me. We're goofing off at practice and having a good time. So, you know, they're willing to do it for not a lot, and they just want to be around the kids, and they love the sport, and they want to keep, you know, promoting the sport and give back to a sport that gave them a lot. So we're really fortunate that every area that we have on our you know, throws, jumps, vault, distance, sprints, hurdles, we have a coach in every event area that is really an expert in that area and really wants to teach it to the next, you know, the next generation.
Yeah, that's a It's a big staff.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the size of the staff at the UW-Madison for track, and I don't...
It's not as big. Like, I guarantee you there's probably 4 to 6 on their staff, and we have like 15, and like I said, I'm not padding their pockets a ton, but like, I think they're not in it for that. They're really in it because they want to be part of a successful program, and they believe in what we do here, and they love the sport, and they want to keep giving back to the sport.
Yeah, is you know, there's been a lot of mental health things that have popped up over time with other in sports of one sort or another. Is this something? Mental blocks is one, but how do you train athletes in that kind of that mental health area as well, or what do you do to keep that going positively?
I would say in the 20 years, this is the biggest thing, like as far as just the mental health of individuals, any individual. It's not just, you know, athletes. I think this is one of the big keys for us is of having a big coaching staff is we have more one-on-one and like direct contact with kids on a daily basis. So if I was coaching, if I only had 6 coaches and we have 120 athletes, what's the chances that I'm going to have a meaningful conversation with how many kids each day?
Yeah.
When you have a bigger coaching staff, you're able to have more meaningful conversations more often with more kids, which mentally, like you can't know what's going on with somebody until you're having a meaningful conversation, not a text, not some instant message, an actual face-to-face conversation. When you have those, you'd be surprised at what the kids are going to open up and tell you. Like, there's some things that have come across through my office here that I never would have thought of, that would I've ever thought I would be dealing with when I got into coaching. But that's probably one of the biggest parts of my job. I always say now, my job first and foremost is I'm like the concierge to these kids' academic and college life. Like, I'm here to make their life as good as it possibly can. If they're happy, right, they're going to perform for me eventually. But so that's a side thing. Like, I'm going to get the benefits of it too. But if they're unhappy and they're struggling in school, in relationships, in life in general, then they're not going to be very good at practice and they're not going to be good at meets. So really, I think we've gone from like, you know, sports anxiety and things like that to more of like just life in general and just trying to make people realize that there's ways to deal with depression and things like that. Not just, oh, I'm worried about a race. It goes way beyond that now, Larry. I feel like if we can get them happy and just want to be at practice, the racing and the competing, that's going to take care of itself. And that's really not why we're in it. Like, we win, yes. But like, I just want these kids to leave and think, gosh, that was a really good experience that I had there. Like, I was happy when I was in Eau Claire.
Yeah. Well, on that happy note, I tell you what, there's probably a lot of parents listening today that would say, I want to think about my child attending Eau Claire and maybe getting involved in that track program. Chip, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it. Hope we have a chance to talk again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry, and go Blue Golds.
Go Blue Golds. Well, Chip Schneider, our guest today, head coach for men's indoor and outdoor track and field for UW-Claire, also serves as director of cross country with somewhere between 12 and 15 coaches. So that is a pretty darn good program. Tomorrow, we'll take a look at the wonderful world of wildlife on the program and take a look at that bird flu business coming out and we're seeing here in the state. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.